Hi, this is Alan Carrington again. Today I'm at the University of Greenwich. It's the most amazing place. I mean, for somebody who has got a history of 200 years, to come to a place like Greenwich and see some of the maritime history of the United Kingdom and all the buildings has been absolutely amazing. Of course, in the middle of this is the Educational Development Unit, which is headed up by Simon Walker, Simon being a National Teaching Fellow. And in the middle of this very, very fine historic place is this cutting edge centre. And Simon, thank you for giving me a time today. What I'm interested in is this incredible work you've been doing with graduate attributes. Now, tell us a little bit about why you this started at the at the university.
Well, first of all, great to have you here, Alan. Always good to have people from Australia coming. Our graduate attributes project, call it a project, but actually it's a long-term initiative, but with sort of project elements to it. It started back in 2009 as a means to develop our academic skills and to try to develop a framework to kind of understand that and push that into a kind of a pedagogical framework, if you like. So we'd understood from a lot of academics that students coming to the university weren't as skilled academically as they needed to be, effectively.
Okay, so let me ask you. I've often wrestled with the question, and I ask academics all over the world, literally, what do they want their academics, and sorry, what do they want their graduates to look like? Now, I'm not talking about physical lookness. What I'm talking about is how are they, in all the areas of their life, what do you want them to be like? And so this is what I believe graduate attributes is about. So you guys have set out to define this.
We have. We've done an awful lot of research, and it's taken us a couple of years to get to this place as well. But essentially, we think it's about creating very good scholars who are very independent. In this university, as opposed to other universities, which I think got a particular take on their own kind of attributes, but we think here it's very important that students come in as creative students, but leave even more creative.
Right, so creativity is big.
Creativity is very, very big. We have three dimensions to this. So scholarship and autonomy is the first dimension.
Yes.
Creativity and enterprise is the next one. We know that some of our students, we're 54% black and minority ethnic in this institution. And a lot of our students don't seem to have the opportunities that other students might have coming from other universities or other backgrounds. So we know that they've got to be especially enterprising in order to get that graduate level job or to start up on themselves. So that sort of there's a big kind of employability issue around.
Is that the same as entrepreneurship?
It's not the same as entrepreneurship because not necessarily about making money, but it could be say social enterprise where you see some sort of gap, some opportunity, in what you're doing, some need that needs to be met. Now it could be a product, a service, but it could be a community need as well. So you could get someone, for example, you know, I met a guy called Michael Regan, who set up a thing called XLP, which is about trying to give children different choices to joining a gang, for example. And he set up a big network of, a very established network now, it's been running for 19 years. Very exciting, does lots of arts projects with students. Very interesting, very worthwhile, very valuable. Project. It's a social enterprise project.
Okay, so now you've talked about these three areas.
Two areas. Third area. Third area is cross-cultural and international awareness.
Right.
And again, as us, we're an international university in the sense we have a very large number of international students who come to the UK wanting an international experience. We've also got, you know, we were, or still are, possibly the most diverse institution in the UK, higher education institution in the UK. And what we are very, very keen on doing is making sure that people not only learn within their own cultures, but learn with other people in other cultures. So they come out with this kind of very, very, you know, very highly developed attribute of being able to work and talk to almost anybody, irrespective of race, colour, you know, gender, those sorts of things. So we're trying to create a pedagogy which is allowing us to build those, build upon those existing, the existing attributes that students come in with and develop those.
Okay, so after you've defined these graduate attributes, what you map your programs to this. How does that work?
Yeah, it's we made a decision at the moment not to do this much more holistically. So not to get kind of really caught up in the kind of detail or the sort of tick box mentality that a lot of institutions go down. So what we've got at the moment are very, very broad attributes. So we've got overarching university attributes. We're expecting our programs to interpret those attributes into their own kind of disciplinary or professional professional discipline, professional subject. So you could take you know, something around creativity and enterprise, which will end up in some sort of program, which is a program level outcome, which is very focused on their discipline. And that's going to be different according to whether it's a science discipline, or STEM discipline, or whether it's humanities discipline. But it's going to be there nonetheless. What we're then expecting people to do is to develop the activities within their courses that make up those programs. So the site of activity is a course. You then end up with courses reflecting those program level outcomes.
Yep.
Now, the tricky thing, I think, is trying to develop a pedagogy which is appropriate for developing those attributes.
What sort of response are you getting out of your academics on this? Is it a good buy-in or is it a medium buy-in? What is it?
So far, I would say it's a reasonable buy-in. When the Deputy Vice Chancellor and myself went round all the heads of schools to meet the senior management teams, it felt like we were pushing an open door because people, I think, needed a kind of a grand vision for what they were doing. So they were saying, actually, a lot of people were doing this anyway, but not making it very explicit to either to themselves or to their students. So you got to a situation where an employer was saying to a student, so what did you learn at university? And they were kind of, you know, confounded by that question. Whereas I think what we're doing here is you know you're giving them a kind of framework to work in and making it very explicit as to what that framework is.
So you think that help by defining your graduate attributes and helping the academics understand how to support the, or to create the pedagogy to meet the, or head the student towards that, is that actually making it easier for your students to be employed? Is it?
Well, this is $24,000 question, that one, because it's very difficult to say this is the reason why our employability might be going up or down. Because it's a very tricky, complex world, isn't it, that we're going into, where graduate level jobs are, you know, there's either lots of them or there's less of them. So actually, you're still producing the same number of graduates, but the job market is very, very different. So that's difficult to say. But I think we took a view that it was to do with the reputation of the university in the minds of both students, parents, and employers to say, actually, yes, the university is producing students of this kind of ilk. You know, these are people who communicate well, they can critically think well, they can solve problems very, very well. They understand how to deal and work with people. You know, they're highly skilled people, in other words.
Yep.
And that's the kind of aim that we want to hear. So we need to turn that around.
So many things we can talk about as to how you support the academics' objective or helping the actual programs to map to these things. What do the students think of it?
At the moment, we're working with students to produce a student guide to the Grange graduate.
Right.
So they're working actually totally independently of us. I mean, we're giving them some sort of framework to work in, but they're producing this.
Now, students
are, yeah.
Right.
So this may be a first. I don't know. I don't know anyone else
who produces
a student guide.
Right?
So we think actually this is the way.
It's the guide to the graduate.
It's the student guide to the graduate. Okay, so what we're saying is that that people, you know, this is going to empower you to learn more effectively and be focused on your kind of career and your development, but it requires a commitment from you. So the ethical contract that we have is that we'll provide opportunities for you to develop, you know, these attributes, but you've also got to make a commitment. If you choose us, you make a commitment. So there's no hiding,
Is there a document that we could be make available?
There is, and I've sent it to you.
Right, so you're happy with me putting it on the, up on the board?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I will give you another document, because the one actually which is on the website is the kind of the university-branded one. What you're not seeing on the website is the student version of that, our student version, which says that we expect students to be committed to these things.
Yeah. It's one of my really is one of my favourite. And what's more is I also think it's one of the most significant areas of the future of learning and teaching, because unless we can actually start to wrestle with this question, what the graduates are going to look like, how we want them to be, and it's all to do with transformation, we're not going to hit any. You know, we're just going to end up with useful idiots.
Yeah, I mean, our strapline is not only what students know on graduation, but what they can do.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, for us, and that fits in with OECD stuff as well, which is about, you know, it's not just what you come out with in your head, it's actually how you apply that and what you do with that stuff. Yeah. And really how you live your life.
Great, thank you. I've been talking to Simon Walker, and thanks for your time, Simon.
Pleasure. It was really good to see you.